In our worshiping of Him, in our glorifying of Him, sometimes He turns around and He says, no, 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 let me do something for you. If you have pain in your body of any kind, come up here. If you have pain in your body of any kind, come on up here. You just hold your hands out like you're going to receive a gift. If you have pain in your body of any kind, any kind, any kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Yeah, I'm looking. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just hold your hands out like you're going to receive a gift. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the way. Drive it out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Drive it out. Drive it out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Don't let your head get in the way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sit down. Hold your hands out. Drive it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, for all that. Jesus' name. Yep, let her go. Yep. Here you go, Mom, in Jesus' name. Yep, yep, yep. Just trust her. It's okay. In Jesus' name. Drive out all that pain. A faithful man, in Jesus' name. Drive out all that pain. A faithful mom. Jesus' name. Drive it out. Drive it out. You're too young to be hurt. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Drive it out. Yeah. Lord's going to make it up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, okay. In Jesus' name. Ah, yeah. Now, Miss Christina, the Lord says you know more. And since you know more, you got to walk in what you know to drive it all the way out. Now, this is going to help you. But to walk it, it's only going to get you a reprieve. Because you know enough. And since you know enough, you're going to have to walk in what you know. The joy of the Lord, how to worship. You're going to have to walk in that at home when it tries to come on you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is just going to give you a break so that you don't, it's not so oppressive. In Jesus' name. Yeah, those nerve endings made whole. In Jesus' name. Yeah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Miss Jan. Ah! Here you go, Miss Sylvia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me your hands, Camden. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, just receive it. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Miss Nancy. Hey, Chloe. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name. Hey, Mom. In Jesus' name. You're too young to be hurting in Jesus' name. Drive it out. You're too young to be hurting too in Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah. In Jesus' name, all the way, all the way. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Which hip?
This one.
That's the surgery hip?
No.
That's the non-surgery.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, replaced. Replaced in the name of Jesus. This the surgery hip?
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, restore. Restore. Yep, all the pain. Gotta go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This cloth, the anointing of God going into this cloth in Jesus' name. That's good stuff, isn't it? Is Christian Senior here? Is Christian Senior? He's in Faith Racers. Tell him take a break. Hallelujah. Come on now. I'd like to minister to four ladies. Brandy Ballou, are you here? She's out of town. Well, that's too bad. Dawn Manning, are you here? She's around somewhere. Johanna Ballou and Lisa Egan. Got a claw? Jesus' name, the anointing. Go into this claw. Yep, driving out pain and sickness from his body. Jesus' name. I take authority over that dizziness. It's got to stop. Jesus' name. Come on up, ladies. Hallelujah. Where's the pain at?
Knees.
Knees. Which knee is more? One more or the other? Both. Restored in Jesus' name. Restored. All those pieces and parts replaced. Restored in Jesus' name. Driving out all that pain in Jesus' name. Yeah. Just a little something to run your race in Jesus' name. Now when you go back and teach those kids, it won't hurt so bad. Hallelujah. Now, ladies, I'm excited because I don't normally get to minister to parents. I'll be right back. Hold your hands out. In Jesus' name, all that pain, driven out. I got to do things in an order. I don't often get to talk to parents, but I'm excited because today I do. And especially when the Lord tells me, so I get real excited. This is for Brandy, too. Now, you have all desired something for your boys in their friendships and in the spirit. And God is wanting to work something. God's wanting to work something precious. He's tried before, and there's a lot of reasons, but his work wasn't done. Now, as mamas, first of all, pray. You have to be in the spirit over it, because it's not going to be birth without prayer, and it's a big enough thing. I can't do it on my own. Neither can Melissa and I can't do it. The youth team can't do it. It's going to take a greater realm of authority to get it done. So, number one, watch over it in the spirit. Number two, when your sons want to get together, encourage it. Encourage it. And control the atmosphere as much as possible. And be honest with yourselves to say, you know, it might be better if they can go to your house this week. Now, that's not a child care excuse. Do you get what I'm saying? That's a, you got to be honest about where the atmosphere in your home is, because the atmosphere these boys are in is very important to what God's trying to do in their life. And then thirdly, watch over their fellowship. Make sure their fellowship is first and foremost over the things of God. Yeah, you guys can go play. You guys can go pray, but first you better pray and thank God that you get to that you get to be together. Pray and thank God, you know. Or hey, maybe you ought to read the Word before you guys go go-karting. You know what I'm saying? Just, it doesn't have to be some super spiritual thing. Just follow your spirit at what they need to do. What they need, and make sure, just really watch over their fellowship. And if something unrighteous starts creeping up, even if it seems odd to your mind, why would I correct that? Don't hesitate. Just jump on it and say, boys, that's not unrighteous. Or I mean, boys, that's not righteous. It's unrighteous, so we're not going to talk about that. You see what I'm saying? The power of a praying mama cannot be overstated. So if you want to see what's in your heart come to pass for your boys, it's going to take an active role to not just let it happen, but to be intentional and do those things that the Lord tells you to do so that it'll come to pass. So just hold your hands out. Yeah. An impartation for that journey. An impartation to raise a knight of God. May what you see come to pass. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm not trying to talk to anybody specific. Go ahead, ladies. But Eric and Josh, you guys have a very critical component to be a godly example. You hear me. You don't have to come up here. You have to be a godly example for those boys. So if there's ever a time that you've wanted to be spiritual in your life, now's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brennan and Kimberly, come here, please. I told you I had an order of service. Oh, you thought I was kidding. Hallelujah. Honey, come up here. Now, this won't make much sense at the moment, but it will make more sense later. You don't know what precious seed you planted. You have no idea, but the Lord knows. And when the announcements start getting made, you'll go, oh. And you'll see the precious seed that you sowed. And you'll think, wow, this is such a small thing. But it's not in God's eyes. It was a gigantic thing in God's eyes. And just at that time, when you'll be sitting there, I saw it, you'll be sitting there in your living room and you'll go, oh my word, we had no idea the seed that we planted. And just right about that time, the gifts are just going to start coming into your living room. The gifts are just going to start coming in. Not because of any great thing that you did, but just because you loved the Lord to take care of His precious thing. And the gifts are, and you're going to go, what? Because the Lord says, what you participated in is of great worth and great honor. Honey, put your hands on her chest. In the name of Jesus, restore those lungs. In the name of Jesus, the blood vessels repaired, restored, a greater percentage. Yeah. Give me your hands. A prosperous business. Yeah. A new way of thinking. Yeah. And you're going to teach some young men how to do business. Ah, God's way. Just let him go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you need something from God, just reach your hand up to heaven right now. And say, I receive it now. It's mine. Because God is wanting to grant requests. He's wanting to grant petitions. Now in the name of Jesus, receive what you have asked for. Yeah. The cry of your heart be answered. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I think that's it. Let me check my list. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. Don't look to a man. Give glory to God. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I almost forgot. Glory. You know who you are, car guys. You guys know who you are. I want you to come up here. Yeah. Yeah, I know you're busy. You're fine. I got it. I can pastoral usher myself. Hallelujah. I know you're not all here, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Andre, I need you. Hallelujah. There were impartations that were made from Pastor Ike to us. And today those impartations go into another group. To be sons. To follow close. Yeah. You start on that end. I'll start on this end. We'll cross in the middle. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. All that God has to impart. In the name of Jesus. All that God has to impart. In the name of Jesus. All that God has to impart. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. All that God has to impart. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You thought you was going to get skipped. In Jesus' name, all that God has to impart. Don't forget Noah. Oh, good. Good. Make sure you get Noah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah, you just get him again. Hit him again. It's fine.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, glory to God. Impartation to be a dad.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Don't get too close. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just lift your hands and glorify God. Lift your hands and glorify God. Hallelujah. Just glorify God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I'm letting God do His work. Many times His operating table is the floor. You ready to resume? If you would, please, sir. In Jesus' name.
you're the center of our church. Jesus, you're the center of our church. And to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're my center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
Lift your voice.
All about you. Yes, it's all about
you. Let him hear you sing.
From my heart to the heavens. Jesus, you're the center. It's all about
you. In my life.
Yes, it's all about
in our church. Ever and always.
All about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship. We praise you. We thank you. We give you honor this morning. Oh, Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding, that we would see in your word things that we've not seen before, Father. That we would hear things that before bounced out of our mind, but today are received into our spirit. Oh, Father God, we thank you for a greater level of knowledge, a greater level of understanding, insight into mysteries, secrets, and the wisdom of God. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. Oh, that, Father, it is the bread of life. That we don't just live on food, but we live and breathe and have our being with every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Oh, we thank you, Father. We come to you humbly and with great reverence, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of our lives. Oh, in the mighty, mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So be it. So be it today. Hallelujah. In the presence of God, you can be seated to receive the word. What a joy it is. What a joy it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we'll get started. Galatians chapter 5, please. If you're following along in the word, which you should. This morning I have an admonition and an exhortation. But first we got to do the admonition, because then the exhortation will have much more meaning and weight. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. There's been a long-standing question with many of us. Don't worry, I'll get to the question, but I think you'll see it pretty soon. How do we accomplish all that we're supposed to accomplish in the natural and in the spirit? And today we're going to answer that question. There's been much confusion because the devil does not want this question to be answered. Because if this question gets answered, then we're not just a church. We're a mighty moving force for God. If this question gets answered, the purpose statement that's on the wall out there ain't just some peel and stick letters. It's something that gets burned into our heart. That we encounter God and always be victorious. And the last thing the devil wants is one victorious Christian, let alone a gathered body of them. He's terrified of that. That's why he works on us so much. That's why he's working on us right now. See, whenever you start feeling sorry for yourself, or whenever you feel that depression come on, or that rejection, those thoughts of rejection, well, they just don't like me, or how am I going to do this? Whenever you start, all of that is variations on a theme called oppression. And you have to be self-aware enough to know that when that starts coming, the devil's working on you. He's working on you. It comes different ways. It can come with condemnation of, oh, I'm so terrible. Or it can also come with pride. Like, I've got quite a gift. Why don't the pastor use me? It's oppression. Either way. It's oppression, and the devil's working on you. Devil's working on you. Stay put. Hold fast. Having done all to stand, stand. So let's answer this question. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 is where I'm going to start. I think the Apostle Paul knew something about this subject. After all, not only did he write the majority of the New Testament, he also had a ministry that spanned the known world at that time. I think he knew something. He said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if the devil takes you to a specific thing, or I should say, if lust of the flesh in your mind is a specific thing, I want you to know the devil's trying to take you there. Because the lust of the flesh is a very wide and all-encompassing term. It means anything that the flesh wants that is contrary to God. The devil's done a real work to make lust mean something sexual. Because did you know just being lazy is the lust of the flesh? Hitting the snooze button one more time. Lust of the flesh. That extra chicken leg. Oh, buddy. Lust of the flesh right there. Well, I'll just watch one more episode. Lust of the flesh right there. Because you knew you should have stopped and you didn't. See, that's anything. Anything. When you know you should have stopped and you didn't. That's the lust of the flesh. So just know if the devil took you to some specific thing, he's working on you in that area. Do you know the first step to not being ignorant of the devil's devices is pay attention? Where did that thought come from? See, most of us have lived with those thoughts for so long, we don't even give a thought to where it came from. We don't stop and ask any questions. But you see, when the devil brings us a thought, we ought to do what happens when we get pulled over by the policeman. Look straight ahead and give short yes or no answers until you find out what you're being accused of. I'm saying that. That's what you ought to do when them thoughts come. You give a short yes or no answer, you find out what he's saying. And then you do what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, and you bring the word and you cast down every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. See, when you're getting ready in the mirror and that thought comes, jump on that. Right then, right there. Don't wait. Say it out loud. Say what the word said about you. I tell you what, if you don't even know very much of the word, you know this, you're made in the image of God. Now, you may not know all of what that means, but the devil sure does. And more importantly, God sure does. And so just by saying that I'm made in the image of God, do you know that gives God permission to continue to make you in his image? Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't fulfill the if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. It has inordinate desires over, against, and contrary to the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. The spirit has desires over, against, and contrary to the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. I got to read that, because I'm going to tell you right now, wish doesn't mean what you think it means. I wasn't going to, but I see that I need to. Because if you don't have your eyes enlightened, then what help is it to you? Am I right? Because you need the understanding. We all need it. Praise God. We all need it. We all need it. The King James says, instead of wish, it says the things that you would. Now that word would, let me just tell you what it means. To will. To have in mind. To intend. To be resolved or determined or purposed to. To love. To take delight in. Or have pleasure in. You want to know why you won't lose weight? It ain't because you're on Noom. If you've watched the YouTube ad. It's the most annoying ad on the face of the planet. I'm sorry. Anyway. It's not because you're on Weight Watchers. It's not because of this, that. It's because the flesh is contrary to the spirit. Do you want to know why you keep wasting your time? The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Do you want to know why you don't work out? The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Do you want to know why you don't pray more? The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Do you know why you don't read the word as much as you want? The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Well, I want to watch more preaching and less TV. The flesh is contrary to spirit. I want to start a business, but I just can't get out of this dead-end job. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. I just want to witness to people. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. We're preaching now. If you didn't bring them steel toe boots, you might want to, you know, tuck your feet under your chair or something. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now we read over this parable. And we think we know what it means. I tell you what, there is so much in. You just almost turn to a random page in the Bible and there's a lot in there. I'm just telling you. Sometimes there's so much more than what we really take time to digest. And the worst is when we think we know it. That's the worst. You know the worst kind of deception? Self-deception. You want to know why that's the worst? Because you know the truth and you chose to ignore it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And anytime you think you know. Anytime you think you know. Oh, I heard that. I know. You're self-deceived. Because deep down you know you don't know nothing about God. And you just chose to ignore that. I'm up here preaching. I sometimes go, whoa. I don't know anything about you, Lord. Tell you, without the Holy Ghost, we'd all be dumb as a post. I'm telling you. Mark chapter 4. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Nincompoop? If you don't get this one, you got nothing. Right? Oh, we think we know this. I tell you what, sometimes we ought to just suck carpet and say, Lord, we don't know nothing. Open the eyes of my understanding, Lord. Oh, Lord, God's my daddy. He helps me. I tell you what, if God demonstrated himself the right way, you'd be on the floor, barely breathing. The Lord, he's God. See, sometimes we lose our awe of God, and because we lose our awe of God, we lose the revelation that we have. Or we don't receive the revelation that we should have. Do you know why? Because God opposes the proud. Sometimes that's your problem. I don't understand why I can't just get ahead in life. Did you know God opposes the proud? God's your problem. Well, the devil, I'm going to cast the devil. You try to cast out God when you're proud. You just see how well that works. You have encountered a rock that will not move. You can go around. Only it's a real big rock. It's going to take you some time. All right. How are you going to understand any parable? That was all free. I didn't intend to say any of that. How will you understand any parable if you don't understand this one? The sower sows the word. And there are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. It's because their heart was hard, and so it's just sitting on top. Then likewise are the ones on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. Do you know why? Their heart's still hard. It's just not as hard. Yeah. Yeah. They still want to do it their way. Yeah. Or they're still carnal. Yeah. Yeah. And so the word gets in the top layer, but underneath there's a bunch of rocks and stones. So then when persecution comes, oh, wait a minute, it didn't say that first. It said tribulation comes. Oh, God, why is this so hard?
Yeah.
Let alone persecution for the word's sake. You could take, just to make this a little clearer, you could take persecution out. You could say, and when tribulation arises for the word's sake.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? You know the devil will cause you problems to try to take the word from your heart?
Yeah.
Most people, I tried that faith business. No, that faith business tried you.
Yes, sir.
And you failed.
Yes,
sir. You failed the test because it tried you. Because the devil stirred up trouble for you. Oh, we're getting, like I said, if you didn't have the steel-toed shoes on, you would just tuck your feet in. It's okay. Persecution arises for the word's sake. So see, if it doesn't work with trouble, the devil will start motivating people. Right? If I can't get circumstances against you, let me get some people that they're a little smarter than circumstances.
Yeah.
They can get creative in their trouble.
Yeah.
Parents, you want to know why your kids are having trouble in school? I just told you. It's a matter of light. It's a matter of light. Do you want to know why you're having problems at work? You can't get that promotion. It's a matter of light. It's light is the problem. By the way, did God tell you to work at that job? Maybe you're encountering so much persecution because you didn't hear from God on where you're supposed to be. On the other hand, if you heard from God and you know that's where you're supposed to be, that's also the reason persecution is coming, because you know that's where you're supposed to be. Anyway, well, how do I know the answer? Be led. Immediately they stumble. Verse 18, now these ones are sown among the thorns, and they're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire just for things besides God enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones that are on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, do it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, 100 fold. I'd like to direct your attention to these phrases. The cares of this world. There's many things in this world that seek our attention.
Yeah.
Trouble, trial, persecution among them. But also deceitfulness of riches. The desire for something else. They seek our attention for things besides God. Look at Matthew chapter 16 with me. See, I got it all right here on the iPad, so I can go faster than you can. Matthew chapter 16, you see this. You need to see this. I hope that you just got some light that you did not have before. That you see this parable in a new way. Let's not get so focused on the harvest that we miss the importance of the ground. Let's also not miss the importance of the sower sows the word. Who's the one sowing the word? The Lord. He's the one that sows the word because he is the word. Let's not ignore what's being sown into what? And let's not ignore the herbicides that are getting sprayed on it. Right? Things that are going to kill it. Destroy it. Prevent it from being successful. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. Now right before this, Peter had his moment. Right? His moment in the glory. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Look at all the revelation you got. Remember, God opposes the proud now. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests of the scribes, be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter, oh, gotta love Peter, took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." I'd like to point out this is not the first time that Jesus, if you go through and study the gospel, it is not the first time that Jesus taught this. But this is the first time he said from this time on he began to teach them. He was teaching them plainly. It also kind of implies that this is not, that they've gone down the road a little bit. Jesus has said this more than once. Do you get what I'm saying? Because from that time on, so see, the implication is a little bit of time pass here. And then Peter goes, he says this, "This will not happen to you." But then Jesus turned and, this is one of the most unclear passages of Scripture, because he said it to Peter, but that's not who he was talking to.
That's right.
He said it to Peter, but he is talking to the puppet master that used Peter's mouth. "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." Now he's going to talk to Peter. Because see, Peter was an offense to Jesus. Jesus loved Peter. Jesus loved him. That's so plain in the Scripture. It's just undeniable. So Peter wasn't an offense to Jesus. He was talking to that snake that was motivating what Peter was saying. Now the next words are the key to why that was able to occur. Why Satan was able to oppress Peter. Are you ready? I'm going to start answering our question here. "For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." He opposed this revelation because he wasn't mindful of the things of God. He was mindful of the things of men. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. Leaders, I'm going to help you. I'm helping you. Sharpen your spirits. Be listening. I'm helping you. Those that want to be leaders, sharpen your spirits. I'm helping you. Those that think you already is leaders, sharpen your spirit. I'm helping you. "Now it happened," Luke 10:38. "Now it happened, as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, I love it. I love it. Only a mama in a church would get bossy with Jesus.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you what to do here. Am I right? Only a mother of the church would do that. I can see her. She's probably waving her spoon. She got that big old wooden spoon. Yeah. Now, Lord, she turned it right over, turned her wrist over, put it right by her nose. Lord, you tell her.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
She probably had the lid to the saucepan on her hip. You tell her to help me. And Jesus answered her and he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now there's the key. You are worried and troubled. Worried and troubled. Minding the things of men. The cares of this life. You are worried and troubled. Doesn't the Lord care? Sure he cares. But he cares about what's important, not what's needed. Let me say it the other way. He cares about what's important, not what is urgent. There is a world, a vast ocean of difference. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. Oops. You mean the sauce is not important? The sauce was urgent. The meal was urgent. But it wasn't what was important. Do you think Jesus was concerned about the food they were cooking? He multiplied bread and fish. What are you thinking?
Hello. Come on now.
You think Jesus was concerned about the cleanliness of her house? Although I'm sure he was to some degree. But let's be real. He had some dudes rip the roof of his own house apart.
Yeah.
And did he rebuke them? What you doing making a mess in my living room? He did not. And just notice, Peter didn't either. Peter didn't take up for the Lord and say, what you doing making this mess in here? Clean it up.
He sure
did. No. In fact, the only people that really cared was the Pharisees that said, how dare he?
Yeah.
How dare he forgive sin?
Yeah. Come on.
In other words, only the religious people.
Yeah.
And it was probably the short, stunted, unpopular one at the back and go, and clean that mess up too. Mary chose the good part. We all have the same thoughts that Martha had. You know, Martha isn't any different than any of the rest of you ladies. Right? What if you had the pastor come to your home? Today. You ready for that? Y'all good? I'm not seeing anybody go, yep, I'm fine. I don't see one face being like, oh yeah, I'm good, I'm ready. Right? Yeah, that's interesting. Isn't that funny? That's funny. Jesus said giving attention to natural tasks out of the wrong heart. He didn't say don't give attention to natural tasks. How did he start? You are worried and troubled about many things. Giving attention to natural tasks out of the wrong heart was not what was needed. If Martha had been tending to her natural tasks without worry and without trouble, she wouldn't have been sinning. And most likely, she wouldn't have tried to direct the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely, she wouldn't have been rebuked either. But because she was worried, because whatsoever is not done out of a heart of faith is sin. So, because she was worried, because she was troubled, she was sinning. And Mary did the thing that was needed. She gave attention to what the Lord wanted, what the Lord was talking about. Just write it in your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Endure hardship as a good soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with civilian affairs or the affairs of this life. Instead, he seeks to please the one that gave him a new purpose, that gave him a new life. He seeks to please the one that enlisted him as a soldier. He doesn't get entangled in affairs of life. Well, what about all these natural things? We can't just keep praying like jackhammers, reading the Bible like bookworms, or only do spiritual things. Money's got to be counted. Events have to be planned. Meals have to be cooked and things need to be cleaned. I have a cow. I cannot come. They do? All these things have to be, they have to be done? They do? Who said? Now I know somebody's back there going, well, Pastor said that's who. Pastor said that. Sure he did. Are you worried about it? The fact that you're back there going, well, Pastor said, you're worried about it. Yeah. You are anxious over it. What did the Lord say about that? Don't take that thought saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Don't take it. Are these tasks troubling you? Your list of 103 to-dos, 4 checklists? And a budget that's so large it takes 2 angels plus a scroll just to hold it? Let's read Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's just start in verse 25.
Well, this is talking about money.
No, this is talking about life.
Yes.
That is why I tell you not to worry about your everyday life. Everyday life. Whether you have enough food to drink, or enough clothes to wear, or all the tasks are done. Isn't life more than food? Isn't there more to life than clothes? Isn't there more to life than your 103 tasks, 4 checklists, and your budget that's so big it takes 2 angels to carry it?
Yeah.
Ain't there more to life than that?
Yeah.
Ain't there more to life than your procedure book?
All right.
Now, I didn't say the procedure book's not important. But if you're worrying over it, you got problems. You got big problems. Because every time you come to do your health ministry, you're sinning. Because you bring in your worry and your trouble and your care into your helps ministry. And then you wonder, why is it so hard? You know you can do the work and not be worried? You can do the work and not care about it. You can be excellent and not care? Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. In fact, did you know you do your best work when you don't care? Because when you're sitting there stewing over it, you're going to make so many mistakes. You're going to do it so wrong. And you're not going to find the one mistake that really gets you in trouble. Because it's so absent of joy and so full of fear. Well, how am I going to get it all done? Well, we'll talk about that. Don't worry. I wouldn't ask a question without giving you an answer because that's the way the Lord is. He's so kind and good. I don't have it. He had it. He's a genius. All right. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or do their 103 tasks and 4 checklists or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you way more valuable to him than them? Can all your worry add a single moment to your life? Absolutely, it cannot. All your worry, it can't add one single thing to your life. Not one thing. Except items on your to-do list. So now your 103 list of things is 107. Whew, that was such a burden lifted. Let's get another angel to carry that budget, shall we? Because we're going to add a few more pages. That's what worry does. That's what worry does. That's what worry does. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing. Yet, Solomon, in all his glory, wasn't dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will surely care for you.
Amen.
Ooh, this next question. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these sayings. What are we going to do? How are we going to get it done? What is going on with the calendar this year? Why do we have so many meetings? Go ahead. Yep. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. Yeah, you know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
How are we going to get to church on time?
Come on.
I have a cow. I cannot come. Yeah, you're having a cow. That's for sure.
Come on.
If you're upset, you're carnal. I don't apologize for saying it.
Thank you.
Because it's true.
It is true.
Just repent. Lord, I'm sorry for worrying. Lord, forgive me. I've been troubled by all the stuff. See, there's forgiveness. There's restoration. How much lighter does your heart feel now? Oh, so great. All right. So don't worry about these things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. That's why I said you're carnal. Because the word said it.
Yeah.
Your heavenly Father already knows about your 103 tasks and your 4 checklists, and he sent the 2 angels to carry your budget in a scroll. And he knows that you're so worn out because you've been worrying so much that you're laying on top of that scroll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having your cow. And them angels ain't even sweating carrying you along with them.
Yeah.
Right? He knows you have all these needs. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. That includes your checklist. That includes your procedure manual. Yeah, did you feel that? Yep. Seek God above those things. The kingdom of God. Well, it's my helps ministry. But if you're worrying over it, it ain't helping you. What do you mean? I watch people miss items on the checklist all the time. Happened last week. In more than one department. Yeah, go ahead. It's funny. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not upset. I'm not upset. I want to show you the better way. There is a more excellent way. There is a more excellent way. Would you like to know what it is? I know you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Money has to be counted, events have to be planned, meals have to be cooked, and things need to be cleaned. There are always tasks that need to be done. Don't you think God knows they need to be done? Wait, well, hold on. You mean really to tell me? You think God's surprised?
No.
God, don't you know? You want to know what he's doing up there? I'll tell you what he's doing. Yeah, I know. And you're still talking about it. This is what God did not do. Jesus! Did you see that church down there?
Yeah, sure did.
Did you see all them tasks they got to do?
Yeah, come on. He sure did that.
Jesus, we got to do something about this.
He sure did that. That's right, come on.
They got too many checklists. And there's one I didn't even see at the back of the book. God did not do that. And Jack, you know what he did do? Let's have another meeting so that they start focusing on the Spirit. Let's get their mind off all that. And let's get them over here on the kingdom and what's important.
Yes.
That we got things to get out. We got people to save. We got a message to preach. We got churches to plant. We got broadcasts to send. We got a world that is hurting and dying and needs hope and healing. And they need the miraculous. And they need someone to grab a hold of heaven. And they need someone to grab a hold of them and to transmit the anointing that breaks the yoke onto them. That's what God wants us focused on.
Yeah.
He don't care about the checklist.
Yeah, come on.
1 Corinthians.
Hallelujah.
Stop. Stop the worry. Stop the trouble. Stop the fear. What if I get corrected? You're gonna. But I don't like it. No one does. But it hurts me. It hurts all of us.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why Jesus' blood's for your infirmity.
Yeah.
Infirmity is hurt.
Yeah.
Just get over it.
Thank you.
But you don't know how much they don't like me. Stop yielding to the devil.
Thank you.
Yeah. Come on.
The devil don't like you.
Come on. Why you listening to me?
I know.
Come on. Yeah.
Some of you are not sure whether to laugh, cry, or run out the door. First Corinthians 2. We speak wisdom among the mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. All them politicians out there, they come into nothing. God loves President Trump, but I tell you what, unless he's doing something seeking first the kingdom of God, you know what all his policy is going to come to? Nothing. Mr. Biden, do you know what all his policy is going to come to? Nothing. Because that's the wisdom of this age. But we don't speak that. We speak the wisdom of God. Which is a mystery, hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. How do you guys do all that? That's our glory. How do you guys build that? That's our glory. And God ordained it for us. If we would get with his wisdom.
Amen.
And then we get to turn around. We get to give that glory to him. And then he magnifies it and sends it back. And we give it back up to Him. He magnifies it some more and sends it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the world is so full of the light of God.
Yeah.
That every eye can see. And the blinders have fallen off. And every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.
Yeah.
But He revealed them to us in His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deepest things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God.
Yes. Amen.
These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but by the Holy Spirit teaching. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Not spiritual things with natural things.
Yes.
Not comparing God's wisdom with our task list.
Yes.
Not comparing God's wisdom with our procedures. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why we gotta have more meetings? Because the natural man's not receiving. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ. God has prepared good things, but we're not going to enter into that provision with natural thinking. He needs us to know how to handle the mundanes of the mundane tasks of life the same way He reveals anything to us, which is by His Spirit. You think Jesus did a whole task list for the Last Supper? Do you think His disciples got out a big old white book? 2.3, Last Supper, okay. No, Jesus got in His Spirit.
Yeah.
And He goes, hey boys, come over here.
Yeah.
Now you go down that town.
Yeah.
And you say, Lord, have need of this to this guy. And He'll go, okay. And He will show you a large upper room.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, boys, it's not just undone.
Yeah.
That large upper room, it's got tables.
Yeah.
With tablecloths for all the ladies that's important too. And they got centerpieces.
Yeah, come on.
For the people, that's real important too.
Yeah.
And they got all the silverware. It better be important because you don't want to eat with your hands. You're not a barbarian. Anyway, all right. It's all put together. And you know what? The food was ready. The wine was prepared. How did Jesus make all that happen? It's the same way He said to Peter, go throw your line in the lake. And the first fish that you pull out, guess what? It's got money in it. How did He know that? Mystery. Well, do you know what? I remember something in the Word about that. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. How be it? That He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries unto God. The plans and purposes of God being laid out in a mystery. As we shonde besagande di shondobra basekendi di shanda. I am not ashamed to pray in tongues in church. We pray it out. We get into the Spirit. What would happen if we stepped our whole life into the Spirit? What would happen if we didn't just pay lip service to seek ye first?
Yeah.
My God, what would happen?
Come on.
What would happen if we left behind all the junk, the bunk, the hogwash? What would happen if we just acted like what God said was true and we didn't take a worried thought from now until Jesus comes back again? And any time we needed to know what to do, we're just having a meeting, going through the checklist, because sometimes you gotta, so you don't forget something. Because without the Holy Ghost, you're dumb as a rock.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you say, you know what? I don't know what to do. Brother, give me your hand. Okay, I got it.
Yep.
Yeah. What if instead of talking about how so hard it is, we just, give me your hand. We need your hand.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Well, we got to have a meeting. You're having a church meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how we're going to fill all these holes in the schedule. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you that you know all things. Father God, I thank you that you have all wisdom and knowledge. Father God, I thank you that I have an unction from the Holy Ghost and I know all things. I don't have a need that any man would teach me, but the Holy Ghost is going to show me how to fill every hole in this schedule. And it's all going to get done in Jesus' name. Heaven forbid we start acting like Christians. God's solutions are just like His Word. They are spiritual. So our natural understanding does not make sense of them. To our natural mind, God's solutions might seem like foolishness. But what you know, that you know, that you know in your spirit, that it is God's solution. It's not our place to instruct God about His, about our to-do lists.
Right.
It's our place to receive the intellect, thoughts, and insights of Christ so that we can manage our lives according to the wisdom of God. Do you know in Acts chapter 2? Verses 3, the 4, the disciples did the yielding. They yielded to the Holy Spirit. They spake. But then the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. Did you know that if you will yield to the Holy Ghost in your department, that you do the yielding, He'll do the showing. If you'll do the yielding, He'll do the showing for your plan. He'll show you your divine destiny. And you'll go, huh? And you'll just know how to do it. What? Don't you think them boys thought it was kind of crazy when Jesus said, all right, you go down here and you're going to find a donkey. And you just untie that donkey. Because you know what they're thinking? Jesus just told us to steal a donkey. And then Jesus in His wisdom, He got ahead of them and He goes, and if anybody asked you what you're doing, you say, the Lord hath need of it. Thank God it was a spiritual person looking after the donkey that day. But that just seemed like a bunch of foolishness. But they were smart enough to know, I ain't going to instruct God about the to-do list. I'm just going to go do it. Now here's the thing. The disciples, they were gathered. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And they spoke and the Holy Spirit did the uttering. They had to open their mouth and let the sound come out. They had to make the sound, but the Holy Spirit gave them the words. Well, here's the thing. Here's what happens when a person combines life in the Spirit with a life of service and helps ministry. Acts chapter 6. Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint. A bunch of unspiritual people. Because unspiritual people complain. Doubt complains, despairs, and is sad. How you been talking about the calendar? Doubt, despair, doubt complains, despairs, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So there arose a complaint about how people handing out food because the checklist needed to be updated. Them procedures, they hadn't been updated since 2009. So a complaint arose. Now see, we should keep our things up to date so there's less complaining. See? See how I slipped that in there? Can't not be excellent. Anyway. I won't start calling out departments. Never mind. I want to exhort us, praise God. Therefore, brethren, it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and take care of this checklist. Well, pastor needs to come do something. No, that's not desirable. That he should leave the Word of God and solve our procedure problem. Get in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And because they're full of the Spirit, they got wisdom that we may appoint over this business. And we'll give ourselves to prayer. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now just jump on down here to verse 7. Then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly because they got the Spirit plan.
Yeah.
They got off the checklist plan.
Right.
They got off the to-do list plan.
Right.
And they got on the checklist plan.
Yeah.
Or they got on the Holy Spirit plan. Sorry. I was thinking two things at once. That's really hard to do. They got on the Holy Ghost plan. And so what happened? The work of God, because it was put first, multiplied.
Yeah. That's right.
And then a great many of the priests were even obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Why? Because he's full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom.
Yep.
He did great wonders and signs amongst the people. You want to know what I bet the first wonder Stephen did was? He got the 103 tasks done, all four of the checklists finished, and he completed the budget and turned it in ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they go, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because when we will stop fighting and worrying in the natural, and we will go into the Spirit and stay there. Don't you think God knows your house needs to be clean? Pastor Debbie, I'll never forget it. She ministered on Jude verse 20. And brethren, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And she brought out that building yourself up means to rise like an edifice. To organize yourself. To create a foundation that can be built upon and built over. It's the same word that Paul said, I as a wise master builder. Right?
Yes.
To organize yourself. You ever notice things come to you when you're praying in tongues? Once you get past the I need more chicken. You have to get past the fleshy stage. But then the next thing that comes is, wow, that shelf is dusty. Wow, man, I got things at church that need to be done. All of a sudden, you remember the thing at work that you've been trying to remember for 4 days.
Yeah.
Why? You're organizing yourself. You're organizing yourself. Because you put the things of the Spirit first. See, what happens is, you ever read in 2 Peter where he says, you are partakers of the divine nature? Do you think God's disorderly? Do you think God's confused?
No.
Do you think God misses an item on his checklist?
No.
I mean, really, let's think about it. Do you think the trains in heaven run on time? You better believe it. In fact, the stopwatch is setting itself to the trains running on heaven. Because God, he's on time. Do you think that there is one speck of dust in a single mansion anywhere? In all of glory? Absolutely not. That's what I'm saying. God does care about the cleanliness of our home, but more importantly, he cares about the work of the kingdom being done. And if we will yield to him to do the work of the kingdom, then guess what? You'll magically, almost, find the time. Not only will you be able to dust the house, cook the meal, play with the kids, read your Bible, you'll also get all your health ministry done too.
Amen.
How did that happen? The wisdom of God in a mystery. And you know what? If you're putting the kingdom of God first, I'm not even talking if you're a preacher. I'm talking about if you're a mama. I'm talking about if you're just going to work every day. If you're a man just putting food on the table for your family. You get into the Spirit. Did you watch what happens? I just need somebody. I just need somebody to help me fix my truck. And you get a call. Hey, brother, I was praying in the Spirit. And God told me that you got a problem with your truck. And he actually told me exactly what it is. I just happen to have the parts here. When are you going to be home? And we'll fix it together. I've been to his house. How'd he find them parts in his garage? Well, he's praying in the Spirit too. I'm gonna end with this. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And you will be able to do the things that are really satisfying to your spirit and to your soul. You will find that fulfillment. Those things that are really important actually get done. But see, many times we think, oh, I don't have time to pray in tongues because I have so much to do. No. You don't have time to not. You don't have time to not. Many believe Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's greatest revelation was faith. And that's true. That is the first message that he was commissioned to preach in the whole body of Christ. However, his first and greatest revelation was being led by the Spirit. You go back and read his testimonies. He's laying in that bed, and he knew his answer was in that Bible. He knew his answer was Mark 11:23. How did he know that? The Spirit. And then he made his confession while he's going to school or going to work that he was dominated by the Spirit. If all you need is faith, then why did he make that confession? How do you think he built that ministry? By the Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is the wellspring of faith. And you cannot separate faith from being led of the Spirit. You cannot separate accomplishing the natural tasks of life from being led of the Spirit if you want to be successful. Now, you can win by your wit and your grit, and you can have a bloody face and no teeth when you come to heaven. God will let you do it. So much better to enter in singing the song of the redeemed. Singing the song, I was redeemed from worry, and look what God helped me do. Here's the admonition. Be less concerned about the affairs of your life. Here's the exhortation from the Lord. Behold, I'm holding you in the palm of my hand. Sit down and fellowship with me. Stop trying to run off of my hand. Cast all your care on me because I care for you. Have no fear. I'll show you what to do. God knows. We got to do all the stuff. He knows how you got yourself into the mess. He knows what you got to do to get out. He knows the schedule. Don't you think? He knows the schedule. He knows all the stuff. He knows what's going to be served at every meal before you even make the menu. He knows who's coming to your house before you even start cleaning it. Maybe let him start telling you, do this and then do this and then do this because you're led by the Spirit. Well, that's foolishness. There's no priority to that. Well, maybe it's the wisdom of God. God can take ordinary people and make them extraordinary when they're led by the Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father God, for helping us to become more excellent. To become more conformed to the image of God. Father God, we thank you that you make us greater partakers of the divine nature. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you organize us, that you build us up. Oh, Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We worship you. That you take us from being nobodies to being somebodies, to being glorified people, to being a holy nation, to being world changers. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the strength that is the joy and gladness of God. We thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which is the mind of Christ. Oh, Father God, we thank you that we have all of these exceeding great and precious promises. And in Christ, the answer to every one is yes and amen. Say this after me, Father. I repent. I've worried. I've stewed. I've been anxious. I've been fearful. But Father, I'm stopping. Right now. I choose to put first your kingdom. And I know that everything that I need, all the items on my to-do list, all the things I have to get done, will be cared for. They'll be done with excellence as I follow you, as you lead me. Father, I thank you that you care for me. Oh, you care for me. And I am going to stop jumping out of the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.